black helicopter crowd notion.
The tyranny is always lurking just around the corner.
It's nursing. They've been crazy, but now they're right.
Black helicopter crowd really is upset.
The people are stupid and they're drunk. There'll be a revolution and they're going to lose. There are too many guns and too many people ready to fight them. I am a man of peace, but we have gangsters running this country. Criminals, gangsters.
We're normal. We see total criminal takeover, the death of freedom.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history. I'm trying to awaken people, but look at the morons around you.
They're zombies.
Today is the beginning of the shoot era of Black Helicopter News. The only way to have fun is to take the gloves off. Screw it. If I offend them? Oh well. What I am going to do is call it down the line every single week. I love conspiracies. I love talking shit. So damn it, I'm not giving up the podcast. Hell no. I'm doubling down and going the other way. Bring it on.
Joining the online studio. You are unmuted and can speak with the host.
From the WBHN network, this is Black Helicopter News. I'm President Zen One. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is episode number 152. So today we're going to talk about breaking bombshell testimony from Dr. Robert Epstein. And are we on the road to civilization collapse? So, tonight, I just appeared on the Screaming Chewy Show, hosted by Jesus Paz. We did a video, an audio podcast, and you know what? As soon as it's available, this might even be him. Yeah, he just gave me the rock on sign. He's uploading it to YouTube. I'm going to put the link in the show description. You actually get a little peek at me, at my face, but you can see me on Instagram as well, President Zen One. All right, what else do I want to say? So I was on a Screaming Chewy podcast, so I'm going to upload that to the RSS feed as well. So that'll be a bonus content podcast. And we went on for a while and talked about a whole wide range of things. So I'm going to put that out this week, maybe tonight. But I'm going to wrap this episode up, and we're going to have some more content coming to you real soon. I'm done. I've been talking for hours. No more. Good night. Go to bed. We are family. All right. We're just going to leave it at that. Stay tuned and we'll be back with more of the podcast. Don't go anywhere. Oh, before we take this break, make sure you check out zen1music@gmail.com. Send us some mail to our mailbag or donate if you support my work. Right now, we just have a PayPal option, but of course, the best thing you can do is share this podcast if you think I do a good job, if you agree with my opinions, or even if you disagree and you think I bring a new perspective to the situation. All right, we'll be right back after a word from our proud sponsors. Unfortunately, we don't have anything in the mailbag today, but do you have a question or comment for WBHN NJ? Leave us a voicemail and it may get played on the air. Call 1-732-807-5574 to leave your message for us here at the podcast. We always look forward to comments, questions, and what have you from literally all over the world, and we enjoy hearing what you have to say. So give us a call at 1-732-807-5574.
And we're back.
All right, folks, for this segment, I have a breaking bombshell testimony from Dr. Robert Epstein, who states his research over the past 6 years shows that Google, via various deliberate manipulations, moved between 2.6 million and 10.4 million votes to Hillary Clinton in this 2016 election. After the Democrats went after Trump, saying he colluded with Russia to sway the election, and when that was found out to be untrue, well, what do you know? Like I said in the past, people always will project their crimes and their flaws onto others. It's human psychology. The deep state's in panic, and they are trying to twist this and trying to say it's a flawed study.
The number one financial supporter of the Hillary Clinton campaign in the 2016 election was the parent company of Google, Alphabet, who was our first witness. They were her number one financial donor, and your testimony is, through their deceptive search methods, they moved 2.6 million votes in her direction. I would think anybody, whether or not you favor one candidate or another, should be deeply dismayed about a handful of Silicon Valley billionaires having that much power over our elections to silently and deceptively shift vote outcomes.
Again, with respect, I must correct you. The 2.6 million is a rock bottom minimum. The range is between 2.6 and 10.4 million, depending on how aggressively they used the techniques that I've been studying now for 6.5 years.
Wow. Could you just say that again, please? Just
the 2.6 million is a rock bottom minimum. The range is between 2.6 and 10.4 million votes, depending on how aggressive they were in using the techniques that I've been studying, such as the search engine manipulation effect, the search suggestion effect, the answer bot effect, and a number of others. They control these, and no one can counteract them. These are not competitive. These are tools that they have at their disposal exclusively.
If any headline comes out of this hearing, that should be it.
Okay, folks, this is big. This shows you the power that big tech has, that Google has. This is really what can sway an election. And big tech already said they can't allow 2016 to happen again. So they will ramp up their efforts if they're not stopped. So that's why I applaud Ted Cruz. I applaud Dr. Epstein. No relation to the other Epstein. But this is not partisan. This is the powers that be picking a side to win. I respect this man for doing this research and bringing it forward, even though it isn't the best look for his party that he represents, for the Democrats. Now, want the twist on this story? Besides the fact that this shows the corruption of Google, of big tech, besides that, something interesting happened. His wife was just killed in a car crash. Hey Siri, find me the story of Dr. Robert Epstein's wife dead.
Okay, I found this on the web for Dr. Robert Epstein's wife dead. Check it out.
This is why I think that all of the conspiracy theories that point to this conclusion, that there are powers that be, deep state pulling the strings, silencing their critics. TruePundit.com, just 7 hours ago, wife of congressional whistleblower who testified against Hillary Clinton, even though he was a supporter, he said that, he went on record and said that, but who testified against her and Google, dies in tragic car crash. What a coincidence. The Clintons have a body count and they just keep adding up. It just keeps on becoming larger of a number. So that's why I believe Hillary should be in prison. Yet another suspicious death linked to another critic of the Clintons just months after a respected doctor and researcher got in a spat with Hillary Clinton after revealing Google's scheme to help her get elected to the White House. Well, a car crash claimed the life of that doctor's wife. Wow. Who testified to Congress that Google's search algorithms were slanted to help Hillary defeat Trump in the 2016 election. She attacked him for his research during the summer, and on Saturday, he tweeted the untimely death of his wife. Here's another past tweet. This was a tweet from August 20th, 2019, when they had their fight. At Hillary Clinton, whom I have strongly supported for many years, told blatant lies about me today. As a result, I've been subjected to widespread condemnation by the mainstream media. I'm going to fight this. So their fight began, and now I guess it's over. So they would say, I am a conspiracy theorist for thinking that there's something odd about this coincidental and opportunistic moment for the Democrats based on the death. Now, I'm just sick of seeing things like this. They're not going to get away with this. That's why I have a hard time dealing with people that don't face the facts. How could you pick Hillary Clinton over her competitor in 2016? How? Somebody with a long trail of death on their path to success. I don't know, folks. I want to rant about this, but you see the criminality of big tech. There's no way to link this at the moment. This is still a new story that's just developing, but this woman's dead now. On one hand, now he really has nothing to lose. He should fight harder, but the fact that in his tweet said a slippery road caused her death, which is completely possible, but that would make it believe that he doesn't think that there was anything suspicious. And hey, maybe there wasn't, but what I see is somebody that's attacking the hornet's nest and is causing collateral damage for people around him. I don't know what else to say about that, folks, but they have the power to do this. We're talking about the most elite, wealthy billionaires, corporations, coordinating in concert to sway an election. It's dishonorable, and they need to be stopped. Hi, this is President Zen One, host of Black Helicopter News, wishing you a very happy holidays. Hope it's filled with joy and love from our family to yours. Here I am, folks, with the ceramic heater in the background, white noise, PS4 white noise, and Home Alone. Playing that, streaming off Disney Plus. Season's greetings and wishing you a very merry, merry Christmas. And we're back, and our next story is on BBC.com. Are we on the road to civilization collapse? This is a very interesting article by Luke Kemp, and I'll give a quick explication of it. It's a nice size article. Studying the demise of historic civilizations can tell us how much risk we face today, says collapse expert Luke Kemp. The signs are worsening. Wow. So, folks, we do consider ourselves, the West, to be the peak of civilization. But when you look at all of the other past great civilizations that existed, they all came to an end, and they all had a similar demise. Civilization can end. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's not going to go on forever. We've been having a great run, you know, and maybe we'll shatter the records, and we'll be one of the longest ever. And maybe we won't. But there are some things here why we may not last. Great civilizations are not murdered. Instead, they take their own lives. This was the conclusion of historian Arnold Toynbee in his 12-volume Study of History book series, an exploration of the rise and fall of 28 different civilizations. And he was right. At least in some respect, civilizations are often responsible for their own decline, but self-destruction is usually assisted. The Roman Empire, for instance, was a victim of overexpansion, climatic change, environmental degradation, and poor leadership. But it was also brought to its knees when they were sacked by the Visigoths in 410 and the Vandals in 455. So collapse is often quick, right? No matter what, it's a quick thing usually. Greatness is not the Captain America shield that's going to protect you from anything. It's not. The Roman Empire covered 4.4 million square kilometers in 390. 5 years later, it plummeted to 2 million. That's drastic. By 476, the empire's reach was zilch. Zero. So this man is on a hunt to discover. He's on a mission to find out, what can the previous civilizations, the rise and fall of them, what can they tell us about our own? What forces will precipitate or delay a collapse? Because we are finding similar patterns. So they're looking at it, comparing the longevity of the different civilizations, because there's no, it's an abstract concept. It's not necessarily, you know, A plus B plus C. It can be, you know, it's complex is what I'm trying to say. So they take a lot of different factors into consideration. So he compared the lifespan of various civilizations, which he defines as a society with agriculture, multiple cities, military dominance in its geographical region, and a continuous political structure. Fair enough. Given this definition, all empires are civilizations, but not all civilizations are empires. That almost sounds like it's going to make things confusing. Let's just take a step back from that data, digest it however you will. Collapse, not that I have to define it, but a rapid and enduring loss of population, identity, and socioeconomic complexity. Fair enough. Public services crumble. Infrastructure crumbles. Disorder ensues as the government loses control of its monopoly on violence. I remember I was in college the last time I think I used that word. We're talking about gun rights. And they were asking me if I think we should have rocket launchers. And I said, yeah. I said, why should the government have a monopoly on violence? That's not fair. Anyway, side tangent, bring it back. Virtually all past civilizations faced this fate. Some recovered or transformed. Like the Chinese and Egyptians, they transformed. Right? They've been around very long. Luckily, they were able to, you know, recover from a potential destruction. Other collapses were permanent, like Easter Island. Sometimes the cities are revived, like Rome. In other cases, like the Mayan ruins, they're abandoned. They're just there as a mausoleum for future tourists, a graveyard. All right, so we kind of established a pretext.
Pump up the volume and let the music play. President Zen 1 of his new CD, Rorschach Test. Featuring Bout-Mash single, Project Bluebeam. Rorschach Test. Available on iTunes, CD Baby, Reverb Nation, and other fine music stores. You can buy my new CD, Rorschach Test, and Philosopher's Stone, both for only $9.99. Check us out on Armageddon Record Shop or on eBay. I've got digital download cards of both EPs for sale, or just inbox us at zen1music@gmail.com. What are you waiting for?
You're listening to WBHN New Jersey, brought to you by the Armageddon Records Media Network, and made possible by viewers like you.
Now, keep in consideration, we are more technologically advanced, so we have more of a chance to survive. But even so, the same things that destroyed past civilizations, we haven't cured here. So here we go. Here's some of the things that could bring us to the brink, that could lead us to destruction. Climatic change. Yes, we're talking about it every day in this world. Climate change. This is a debate. Whether it even exists, but whether or not whatever side of the debate you fall on, climate change can result in crop failure, leading to starvation. Sometime desertification. Lush fields can turn into barren wasteland of dust. like the surface of Mars. So, the collapse of the Anasazi, the Mayans, the Romans, and all others, had to face, they came face to face with abrupt climate changes, usually droughts. That was the big killer back in the day. But hey, you see sometimes here, we couldn't even get water to Flint, Michigan, right? They were getting dirty water. So you don't have to be some sort of, like, it can happen to anywhere. Environmental degradation. Collapse can occur when societies overshoot the carrying capacity of their environment, such as excessive deforestation, like what's happening to the Amazon, right? Excessive deforestation, water pollution, soil degradation, and the loss of biodiversity can cause this. And folks, we are, as a humanity, we are really degrading the environment. We will hit a point where we can, where it's going to come back to hit us. It's going to come back to haunt us. Another, inequality and oligarchy. Wealth and political inequality can be central drivers of social disintegration, like centralization of power, which usually happens with oligarchy among leaders. This is not only the only thing, but it's not the only thing that can destroy by itself, theoretically. Anything's possible. There's no rules. But that would be something that could play a role in concert with other causes. And in our case, we seem to be hitting on all of these bullet points of things that can destroy our civilization. All right? So we have a lot, like right now, inequality. We have political violence brewing. Antifa versus Proud Boys. Democrats versus Republicans, extremists, communists versus fascists. This all happens in cycle. This is not the first time this has happened. This has happened before in different countries, in different places. It's just the way human nature happens. But when the population increases in a way that it is now, the supply of labor is more than the demand of work that's needed. So workers become cheap, society becomes top-heavy, and all of a sudden, there's large amounts of people that high unemployment.
For years, Robinson has been spreading conspiracy theories.
The government's poisoning the water. Did you know the Federal Reserve's not a part of the federal government? The government's hiding UFOs. Gun registration leads to gun confiscation. We all know the CIA's shipping in the drugs. The leftists are the true usurpers of the Constitution. The government can read your mind through algorithms.
He's getting too big. We must stop him. We must silence him. He's telling the truth. Too much of it.
Grammy Award winner and platinum recording artist, President Zen 1. His debut studio album, Philosopher's Stone, including the smash single, New World Order. President Zen 1, Philosopher's Stone, the digital album, available on iTunes, Amazon Music, Google Play, and CDBaby.com. Get your copy today.
Next, complexity. Collapse expert and historian Joseph Tainter proposed societies eventually collapse under the weight of their own accumulated complexity and bureaucracy. Wow. We are, at least here in America, in North America, United States, we're getting pretty complex with our bureaucracy. So as we have more problems, you know, we create more collectives, more agencies, more committees, more everything, right? More department. However, eventually you're going to have so much of that, so many government agencies. Like, the government keeps growing, and people are so astounded that Trump wants to shrink government, that libertarians want to shrink government. That's because these people are becoming more, usually leftists, dependent on the government to survive. When that's technically not a wise thing to do, yeah, you get benefits and whatnot, but through most of humanity, people, the backbone of society is entrepreneurs, people creating their own private company and services. A lot of services have to be provided by the government, but again, as the population increases, the amount of problems we face increases. And then all of a sudden, we're creating more departments and committees and subcommittees and solutions, throwing more money at problems, because that's the number one solution. Money solves everything. And for the leftists, yeah, money, throw money at the problem, even though it hasn't worked with the education. So throwing more money into the education system hasn't fixed many schools in inner cities. Anyway, does that make sense? The more people we have, the bigger government gets, the more problems government is relied upon to solve, the more jobs, the more government jobs that are created, the more money that they have to pay out, the more benefits, the more pensions, the more everything, everything, it adds up. And when your tax base of entrepreneurs shrinks and they're the ones paying, that's going to lead to collapse. It's basic economics. That's it. I just don't get how people do not understand. They think that money is unlimited. And I get it. A lot of the left thinks you can tax the billionaires and the millionaires. And shoot, yeah, that sounds good on paper, and I agree. Yeah, why not? The working class, we're being crushed by taxes. So let's crush them. The problem is, they have a lot of places to hide money offshore. They have ways to avoid paying their taxes. So as the source of money dries up, collapse becomes imminent. All right, another one. And another one. Oh, but the point was, that happened to, like, the Mayas. That happened to the Roman Empire. It became so big, the bureaucracy increased so much that they weren't able to sustain. It was economically impossible. Next, external shocks. In other words, the, quote, four horsemen: war, natural disasters, famine, and plagues. The Aztec Empire was brought to an end by Spanish invaders, which brought deadly plagues. Most early agrarian states, this happened to a lot of them. Deadly epidemics wiped out many people, many great civilizations. The concentration of humans and cattle in walled settlements with poor hygiene, disease became rampant, unavoidable, devastating. Sometimes disasters combined, like the Spanish introducing Salmonella to the Americas. So folks, when you hear the Four Horsemen, you think, well, when I hear it, I think of the greatest wrestling faction of all time. But the Bible references it as if it's demons on horseback. Well, that's a little exaggeration. We don't see that. But what we do see is war. Can we stop it? No. It just keeps happening. Natural disasters, tsunamis, earthquakes, twisters, like, they exist. We can't stop them. We don't know how to stop natural disasters. Famine and plagues. How do you stop a famine? It happens. A plague, it happens. These things occur externally, external shocks. So we have to be really careful. Well, no, there's nothing we can do to prepare. We have to do our best, though. Anyway. And another one. Could this be our last one? All right, so one more. Randomness, bad luck. Statistical analysis on empires suggests that collapse is random and independent of age. Evolutionary biologist, and data scientist Indre Zliobat, his name, butchered it. But her and her colleagues observed a similar pattern in the evolutionary record of species. They called this explanation the Red Queen effect. If species are constantly fighting for survival in a changing environment with numerous competitors, extinction is a consistent possibility. And that's what we have right now with the East versus the West. Western civilization versus the other half. But despite the abundance of books, articles, there's no conclusive explanation why civilizations collapse. But what we know is there are factors such as the ones I detailed and laid out that all played major roles in all of the great civilizations' demise. We'll be right back. But did you know that 90% of the mass media The mainstream media is controlled by just 6 corporations? So subscribe to the podcast, share this podcast, or donate to the show on PayPal at zen1music@gmail.com. And we'll be right back after we pay some bills. Stay with us.
Regularly scheduled program to bring you this terrifying report.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Jane, what more can you tell us about the Salomon Brothers building and its collapse?
New York, very much a city still in chaos. The phones are not working properly. The subway lines are not working properly.
The sky now black with smoke in front of us. Just across the Tigris River here. This is shock and awe, Tom, for the population of Baghdad. And awe, indeed.
The people you liberate will witness the honorable and decent spirit of the American military.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
Come on.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
I love my dad. I'd kill for him. I'd go to prison for him because I love him so much.
I love Bill Clinton.
What does that make Hillary Clinton to the Bush family?
My sister-in-law.
When you are subverting the power of government, that's a fundamentally dangerous thing to democracy.
What do you think of Edward Snowden?
I think he's a traitor.
Obama is the one that kills the U.S. troops if the Russians bomb any of them. Obama is the one that put them in harm's way. Obama is the one using them as human shields.
It is the most corrupt, degenerate, criminal government in American history.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
Welcome to America, ISIS. This is what we do. Woo!
We got people that have taken your asses out in this building right now. We're armed to the teeth, and we're not scared. You got that, you sons of bitches?
In 2012, your agency was saying, quote, the Salafists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq are the major forces driving the insurgents in Syria. Mm-hmm. In 2012, the U.S. was helping coordinate arms transfers to those same groups. And why did you not stop that?
Why didn't you come forward before? What were you waiting for?
Well, for you, Inspector. I needed you.
I suddenly had this feeling that everything was connected. We're all part of it. Are we ready for it?
You're listening to Black Helicopter News.
And now, on a lighter note, here's what's making him.
So they get more into this. They have a few graphs, but check this article out. I'll try to put it in the show notes. I stopped doing show notes, but I'm gonna begin that again. But you know, they talk about how they calculated these statistics and quantified them, and they come to the conclusion that it looms, that the end looms, and it's always going to be looming. It's there. Humanity, human life. It's fragile, it's delicate, it's special, and it can be snuffed out so quickly. Today, societal collapse is crazier than even a past, because the weapons available to different governments and groups. So, a breakdown? You could have bioweapons used, biological agents, pathogens unleashed on a populace as an act of terrorism. We have nuclear weapons that can wipe life out. Also, other weapons that haven't even been invented or utilized yet. climate change obviously still is something that's happening that can lead to this. So they say, think of civilization as a poorly built ladder. As you climb each step, the step you just used falls away. As you climb, each step that you used falls away. And a fall from a height, a few rungs up, is fine. It's not going to set you back too much. But the higher you climb, the larger the fall. You know, and that's what we are. We're climbing up this ladder of civilization, and we're trying to reach the pinnacle. And, you know, if one thing, we make one mistake, it could send us down to the Stone Age. So they're saying we reached a stage of terminal velocity just because of nuclear weapons, bioweapons, etc., climate change. Nuclear war, that could be the thing to end it all. Bring us right back to the Stone Age. So we're, you know, civilization is resilient. Humanity is resilient. And we're going to try to, you know, we will always try to survive. But, you know, it's not going to be easy because there's no guarantee that we are bulletproof from, that we are immune from society collapsing. Armageddon. Anyway, Luke Kemp is a researcher based at the Center for the Study of Existential Risk at the University of Cambridge. If you want to check him out on Twitter, at Luca Kemp. Wow, what an article. We're going to end it right there. Well, that's going to wrap things up from the WBHN NJ podcast studio. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Black Helicopter News. We sure do hope you enjoyed it. And if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Share this show with family, friends, and loved ones. And you can follow us on social media, Black Helicopter News on Facebook, and President Zen 1 on Twitter and Instagram. Once again, thank you for listening. Until next time, I'm President Zen 1, signing off. Muted.